The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Andre was on Arian's podcast.
It was real touchy with me. I even thought about not doing the ring show.
Yeah, but then I did it anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then I stopped being mad about it, and I smiled and shook his hand and pretended like nothing was wrong.
The other thing that came up was they had a big party after Obama got elected. Here's a problem. There are so many people that take politics too seriously. Your guy won, my guy lost, my guy's always right, your guy's always wrong. There's a little of that going on both sides there.
After the top six or seven guys, almost everyone is fourth, fifth, sixth roundish.
I think Mason Rudolph is the cutoff line.
Mason Rudolph is the cutoff line for first, second rounders. Everybody else is third to seventh. There's a pretty solid line that separates those, those players.
And it's not like we're separating the really good from the pretty good. I think we're separating an awful lot of question marks from guys that you have very little faith in.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not a no. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first 2 hours. Lots of good stuff. A pretty strong 5 o'clock hour. Pretty strong gym of the day. And we welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners. Welcome. Obviously, you will have to go to the podcast, but that's okay. regarding that gym of the day.
It's already 6 o'clock, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun, friend.
I think so. 4 o'clock hour was a little slow for me because I prepared differently today because I was so busy with other stuff. 5 o'clock felt much more natural, and it was over before I realized it.
That's what she said.
Yeah, well, she's usually saying, dude, I have a headache. It's not happening. But regarding the gym of the day, sports, I don't know. Not much of a dinosaur if you can throw a carrot at it and not have consequences besides a fine. If you threw a carrot at a raptor, you would be dead.
Well,
do we know that?
Not in 2018.
No, do we know that? Because let's be honest, all we know about raptors is Jurassic Park, and we know they eat you. But maybe back in the day, if you threw a carrot at him, maybe what that raptor saw was the equivalent of a grenade. Maybe that carrot made him run. You don't know that. You weren't there. I wasn't there. I think we're making a lot of assumptions here, sir.
Well, you also realize this. Raptors died off.
They did. Alligators are still here.
They're still hanging around.
Hmm.
Who's tougher?
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, because I believe they exist. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, dinosaurs didn't exist. But all I know about them is what I've seen in the movies. That they would like to eat people.
Yeah.
But then in Jurassic World, they kind of got friendly with Chris Pratt. So maybe they weren't so vicious. I don't know. Now I'm totally confused. I got to quit watching Jurassic movies.
Yeah, I would quit.
That's where my knowledge of dinosaurs comes from. Hey, you do a lot of food challenges.
I used to.
I have a two-part question for you. You probably have been to every taco place in Austin, or most of the good
ones. I've been to a lot of them.
Okay, the first part of the question is, this guy did he wanted to go to 13 of the best taco restaurants.
Okay.
He had two tacos at each place. He did it all in one day.
So 26 tacos?
26 tacos.
If that's all, like, over the course of a day, I feel like that's possible.
It's possible, but are you fairly judging these places if you do that? Because by taco number 16, you've got to be like, dude, I don't want another taco.
If I were him, I would have gone with like the top 20 and just done one taco each.
Yeah. Because really, what's the second taco tell you if you're getting the same thing?
Yeah.
Because he was getting the same two tacos at every place. But
he was getting the exact same?
Yep.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah. kind of. So I think so. I have to go back and read the top and make sure, but I think that's what he was doing. Oh, okay. He was doing their best specialty taco for each place. And so he was doing two different ones.
Okay.
Okay, so I take that back.
Well, also remember that some places do like those little street tacos that are really tiny.
Yeah. Well, these are all look pretty big from the pictures. So he ordered whatever specialty taco was recommended and also a standard consistent taco made up of five ingredients, which would have tortilla, eggs, bacon, cheese, potato.
Oh, he did breakfast tacos.
Yeah, so he did
that's those. Filling.
So here you go. Yeah.
I was thinking like just meat, you know, like Al Pastor or barbacoa or something like that.
Well, here's his top three specialty tacos from his run through Austin. Number three, Veracruz All Natural Migas. Have you been to Veracruz?
I have.
Good migas?
I don't know if I've ever had the migas there.
Number two, Tamale House East.
Never been to Tamale
House. Spicy migas. And Valentina's Tex-Mex Barbecue.
Valentina's is badass.
The real deal Holyfield is what he had.
That's a good taco.
So that's a... Do you think that's a fair winner?
That is a fair winner.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on your taco taste.
Yeah.
There's all different kinds of tacos. Like the difference between, you know, what you get at Veracruz versus what you could get at Valentina's. I mean, it's night and day. But...
All right, here's his
Veracruz used to just be trucks, but they've got buildings now.
Yeah. The top three classic breakfast tacos. Number one, Rosita Al Pastor.
Rosita Al Pastor is kind of the gold standard for Al Pastor in Austin. It is out of this world.
Joe's Bakery.
Never been.
Daidu Taqueria.
Daidu? No, not been.
Yeah, I've not heard of that one either. So here's...
But he's talking about Rosita's Al Pastor breakfast tacos?
Yeah.
See, I don't know about that, because you said that he was, like, putting potatoes and stuff in those?
Yeah.
Yeah, and eggs. I feel like that messes it up, so I don't know.
My breakfast tacos really simple. Like, sausage, egg, and salsa.
Okay.
And a good tortilla.
No cheese?
I get them to... That's what I get at Brothers. They sprinkle a little cheese on the top of it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good. But those are filling, man. Like And the thing I love about them is they're so cheap. It's like you get two of them, but a lot of times it's like, man, one's more than enough.
I'll do all kinds of different breakfast tacos. Like a good carne asada taco or a breakfast taco is really good. Messy. The chorizo is always good.
The chorizo there is really good too.
Yeah.
That's I have to be in the right mood for that, but man, it's good. So here's the list he visited: Mi Madre's. Joe's Bakery, Taco Deli, Torchy's, Valentina's, Tamale House East, Veracruz, Pueblo Viejo, Daidu, Juan in a Million, Rosita Al Pastor, El Primo, and Tyson's Tacos.
Okay. Juan in a Million is where they do the giant breakfast taco challenge.
Ah.
I've never done the challenge. I've thought about doing it.
Hey, you haven't done a challenge in a while.
I know.
So, hey, let's squeeze in a quick call. Al, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Deportes, amigos.
Sports, good sir.
Hey, so I just want to talk. I was listening to Jerome earlier, and usually I love Jerome. I love most of the things that he, you know, has to say, but I highly disagree with him on the teams the Rockets should want to play. I think that a lot of times as fans, when you think of the Spurs as the boogeyman, and D'Antoni and Popovich's rivalry as one that D'Antoni couldn't beat Pop to save his life, but at the same time, D'Antoni's never lost a series to Pop where he had the better team. He had a team with a better record. And then not only that, but we also forgetting Chris Paul when he basically by himself beat the Spurs in the first round. I don't think that a Spurs team without Kawhi Leonard is a team to really be feared. I think that's a team that series we win in five. And then also, even if we were to play the Pelicans, as great as Anthony Davis is, that's kind of, without DeMarcus Cousins, it's kind of a one-trick pony. That's a team that we've beaten twice without DeMarcus Cousins, and even though Anthony Davis may win a game by himself, I don't see him winning much more than that. What do you guys think?
I'm kind of in that same. I'm in that same group. I without Kawhi Leonard, I'm not scared of the Spurs. But they are well coached. I said this yesterday. I think the Timberwolves may be a sneaky, scary matchup.
If Jimmy Butler's healthy,
yeah.
But what we're talking about here is not whether or not the Rockets are going to lose. It's how far these teams extend that first series, in my opinion. I don't think there's any there's not, unless Harden snaps a knee or something like that, they're not losing.
Yeah.
But you don't want the first series to go six or seven games. You want to get a 4 or 5 game series and get through it and kind of, you know, get your legs under you. That's it. So we'll but I don't think there was any implication that they had to worry about them. But I mean, of course you're going to be a little concerned about the Spurs just because of past performance. But you know, I don't know. But I don't know that I'm worried about them losing to them. I think the Spurs could push them to 6, maybe even 7, and that's not what you want in the first round. But that's all. But it's also possible that the Spurs, you know, it is the boogeyman. I mean, I think it's fair. But I'm not worried about it until they play the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm not really.
And if they don't get there, I kind of know what you said on Barry's show Friday. It's like, well, to hell with them. They didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And I think they will get there, and that's where the playoffs start. I think the East is a little more interesting.
I think the East is interesting. I wouldn't bet against Cleveland, but a world where Philly or Toronto gets to the finals, it's not unrealistic.
Yeah, I'm
fading Boston.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, and I think there's a lot of love for the Sixers because they've been hot
the stretch. They're hot at the right time,
and they're young, and they are certainly, you know, but young teams like that rarely get it done their first try. I mean, it happens, but I mean, Orlando did it the year they made it against the Rockets, and I think this is and I don't trust Toronto. I don't. I mean. I went back and they lost as a higher seed like twice in this, when this run started, and the other two times they've run into the Cavaliers and they've been no match for them. As much as I'd like to see them, because boy, it'd be a fun fight in my house if it were Rockets and Raptors, but I just don't see them coming out of there. I'm going to stick with Cleveland. All right. Well,
you know, speaking of Raptors, to kind of bookend the segment, did you know that in Jurassic Park, they used tortoise sex sounds for the raptor calls? Teresa was texting me this.
That's when we made up. She's lying.
No. They're articles. There are articles saying that the director...
Those are fake. That's fake news.
...used tortoise sex noises for the raptor calls.
Huh. Is that like the sound of breaking shell?
No, that was the actual...
is this like raptor. Rough? Play that again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've disturbed my pleasure.
Yeah, you need to go excuse yourself for a minute. Hey guys.
Oh yes.
All right, you want to draft some Raptors that don't make that noise? Go to draft.com because you can do that. You can play NBA. They've got all kinds of great drafts on there, and guys, they have daily fantasy baseball, basketball. They'll have hockey. Guess what? I want a golf tournament this weekend on Draft. It's that simple. On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. The drafts last one night, and once you're done, just sit back and watch yourself win. The best part, you're playing for cold, hard cash, and you get paid out the next day. And drafts start as little as $1, so if you just want to play for some fun, you can do that. You want to play for more money, you can do that. And I love playing on Draft because what happens is when I go in, and, like, I wanted Justin Verlander last night. I drafted Justin Verlander. Guess what? Nobody else could get him because it's a snake draft. It's not like one of those other sites where everybody else can have the guy. No, you can get him and have him on your own, and you can win. Join me on Draft today. Just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer on draft.com. And for a limited time only, all Blitzers get a free entry into a real money baseball draft. Real money when you make your first deposit, but you have to use promo code FRED. That's right. Play a real money game for free just using promo code FRED when you make your first deposit. Search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code FRED.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One more package to give away. How about this? One more four-pack of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park to hang out with me in the special ESPN VIP section.
Nice.
Upstairs this Saturday night from 6 until 8. And guess what's after that? Stay after the races and catch the 2018 Spring Concert Series this Saturday. Don't miss Shooter Jennings immediately after live quarter horse racing. Tickets start as low as $10 and are on sale now. Get all the info and tickets at shrp.com. Come for the fun. Come for the free food that you get in the VIP section. Come for Shooter Jennings. Come for me. Caller number 15. So there you go.
Did you read about what they're going to do with I-45 downtown?
Yes. I've been aware of this for a while.
How's that make you feel?
I feel shame. I think we've talked about this. It's going to suck for me because there's two parts of this that are a problem. Actually, they're doing that. It's 45 and 59 combo. Everything alongside the George R. all the way to St. Emmanuel, basically gone.
Right.
There's some good places there, too, like Neil's Bar and Little Woodrow's. Now they're going to move them. But that's such a cool area. So all that's gone. This construction is going to take forever. And that's how I get to work.
Not only that. The plans call for a lot of the freeway to be below ground level.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a concern. You're asking to be flooded.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, that area is okay, but if you put it below ground, it's not going to be okay. Not going to be okay at all.
I don't understand why. Who decided to do that?
I'm not good at engineering.
I
don't pretend to be an engineer. I don't pretend to design freeways. I just know that Houston, Texas, you don't really put anything that's lower than ground level.
Man.
I mean, isn't that the whole thing about all these homes that have been built since the last floods is that they're all being built higher, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing. But, yeah, it's it's something that has to be done. I mean, those freeways both are a mess. But it's going to be winding downtown, and there's a year of more extensive planning for the project, which I hope will involve maybe not putting it underground. But it's going to move I-45 onto the opposite side of downtown, running parallel to US 59. It'll go right by Minute Maid Park. So that whole area over there by George R. and Minute Maid is now going to be two freeways.
Yeah.
And that's why they're going to extend it out.
And it says it, I mean, it basically the area around there, like the lofts at the ballpark.
Yeah, there's like one unit, one big unit of the lofts at the ballpark it affects. There's still going to be other ones past St. Emmanuel. But basically, from Chartres to St. Emmanuel, all gone. That's just going to be freeway. So,
wow.
Construction won't begin until 2019 or 2020, which means, okay, let's say I live 10 more years. Will I see the end of the construction there?
My guess is no.
No. Look how long 45's taken. We got 290. 290's been this way since I was a child.
Man, 290, they'll if they almost get done, they'll figure out something new that they got to fix.
Yeah. So that's not good. Yeah, there's a story on Culture Map about that, by the way, if you're curious about how it might impact you. It's by Catherine Whaley of ABC 13.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm against. But, well, I mean, it has to be done. But see, what?
Why?
Because that area is, well, I mean, not the underground part, but it has to be expanded. There's just not enough room there. That area is growing. 59 in that area where it goes from 5 to 3, it's impossible 24/7. So we've got too many people here driving. Now, the better thing would be to get transit, to get trains, but nobody's wanting to do that. But even with that, it's still going to need this the way the city's expanding. For me, where it sucks is that affects my neighborhood significantly, and it affects my getting here significantly and getting home. And, oh, by the way, they're doing a big project here at 610 and 59, which is the other way I get here.
Right.
So unless I buy a helicopter or start...
Well, you are management now.
I don't really want a helicopter, but I'm going to have to... And see, the problem with that is while all that's going on, all the alternate routes, screw it. You got no chance. Richmond's going to be a nightmare. Westheimer's always a nightmare. So now you'll have more people on those streets. So, yeah, I'm basically looking at an hour commute, I think, which most of you are out there listening. Oh, but I live less than 5 miles away. It's, you know, it's not one of those that – I mean, I'm thinking my actual best route may be I-10 to 610 and come in to Westheimer from that way. That flipping around that,
yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, because that's one I take when I know 59 is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 3 minutes. I can live with that. I just don't want to be spending an hour in a car to go less than 5 miles.
But that's a lot of people's ideas, I bet.
Yeah, that's a problem. Every idea I have, somebody else is going to have it. And Junk's just sitting in there laughing. What the hell?
No, I'm not laughing. I have to go that way, too.
You think this is funny?
No. She lives down there. She lives
funny.
She lives down there. So I know, I'm nodding as in, like, I understand your pain.
Is that where you guys are going to live when you get married?
No, but we're still dealing with that. When I'm down there on the weekend, we're going up here. If we're coming into the city, it's always like we know that 45 is going to get narrowed down to one lane by the time we get up here. So we have to find alternate routes.
And they've already shut down that 55 north exit, you can't go that way.
Yeah, usually sometimes we'll take 610 from 45 south. We'll take 610 east and then cut across to I-10.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So, are you guys going to live in Katy? Where are you going to live?
I don't know. Somewhere closer to the city.
Okay.
Just more convenient for me and her.
Interesting. So, closer to the city than Katy?
Yes.
But not inside the loop?
No. Not inside the loop.
Okay.
Galleria's area is closer than Katy, and it's not
John can't afford
to
live in the Galleria. Are you crazy?
No, man, he can afford one of these places over here. That'd be awesome.
They
for
want
him.
Like a they want a place with like a big yard, you know, right?
Yeah, we've been looking the houses. We saw one close to the station. Not that I mean, depend like for the location and for what it is. It's a lot cheaper than I thought.
I think everything on this side of Westheimer is actually
not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, you know, where I lived when I first moved here, I lived, like, West Memorial area, and that place, I mean, the house I bought, like, doubled in value damn near while I was living in it for, what, 3 years, something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't that in the Energy Corridor, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good place to buy.
So, I don't know. That's a good, I mean, it's tough, though, because you, like, if you live out there, then you're in HISD, and it's a battle, Jung. It's a battle.
Well, that's where magnet schools come in, especially if you kind of get over in this area. It's not that far to get into Bel Air or someplace like that.
Right.
There are some good schools. It's just
you got to find them.
Yeah, and I mean that's the thing. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. But that was such an issue because we wanted to be close to the city. Because both of us worked downtown, and you know, but we wanted our kids to go to good schools, and it turns out they did. I mean, I think I'm real happy with the education they got at Bel Air, so you know, and they both have turned out pretty well. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Texans Can Academies, really cool place that takes in kids who've dropped out of other schools. They give them a second chance. Good kids. Sometimes these are kids who had to get jobs to support their families, so they couldn't go to school. Well, guess what? They can at Texas Can Academies because they'll work around that. They'll work around their schedule. If they have trouble with transportation getting to campus, they give them free bus passes. And so many of these kids take that opportunity and go on and do great things and go out and graduate and become important members of our community. And the cool thing is you can help just by donating. And, guys, spring cleaning time. You probably got vehicles that you don't need anymore, and you're trying to figure out what to do with them, and maybe they're not in the best shape, so selling them might be, you know, iffy. Maybe you're going to give them away. Well, no, don't do that. Donate them. Doesn't matter if it's a car, a truck, RV, motorcycle, tractor, four-wheeler. Doesn't matter. They're going to tow it free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. You can do it just in seconds online. And your donation's tax deductible. And some of you might be finishing off your taxes this week. Be really nice this time next year to have a nice tax deduction. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. How about a $50 Visa gift card? Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. I thank you.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Step back out of my way, head first into the maze. I won't be broken. Never stop or hesitate.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I freaking love that song. All right. We were talking about the... We're talking about all this construction stuff. Somebody says, you know, you could dig a tunnel. Don't tell anybody. Somebody suggested biking to work, which would be fine, except there's not an easy bike path from the Galleria to...
Yeah, Fred would die.
Yeah, and there'll be more cars on the road, so my odds of dying go way up, which I know would make a lot of people happy, but not me. I'm not ready to die yet.
No.
But that's why I wish they hadn't killed the damn train project from downtown to here, because I would have done that. I'd have ridden Metro Rail out here every day, but that's all right. If we're ever going to be as big as a city's getting, if we're ever going to be able to handle all the people that we have, that's got to happen. But
someone was talking about, it was Dustin asked about Ken Giles, or actually Lamont started talking about Ken Giles, and I don't trust the guy, but Dustin said last night was about trying to get his confidence up, two outs, get us home, and he almost blew it. And then Matt said he didn't, though. Still better than Jansen and the other guys people keep wanting to trade for. And then I asked him, because I feel like maybe there's a miscommunication here. But is he saying that Ken Giles is better than Kenley Jansen? That can't be right.
No, that can't be right. And by the way, nobody's traded. The Dodgers aren't trading Kenley Jansen to you. That's not happening.
No, but I mean... I don't know where I would rank Ken Giles amongst, like, reliable closers. But I can't imagine that it's anywhere near where Kenley Jansen would rank on that
list.
No,
obviously the guy's been shaky early. He was shaky early last year. And this has been him all 3 years here. Starts off slow. You know, the first year they had to move him to setup for a while. Yeah. But then he starts pitching really well. He goes through a really good stretch. And at the end of the year, you look up. Not bad. Do I trust him to close Game 7 of the World Series? No, but that's why you throw Charlie Morton out there. It's kind of the direction they seem to go now in the playoffs is to use your starters. So would I like to have a more reliable guy? Yeah, but, you know, is it...
His ERA as an Astro is over twice what it was as a Philly.
But, yeah, his ERA as a Philly, though, was ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, would you like to get that guy? Yeah, but he was also not in the same kind of... pressure situations he's in now, but I think worrying about him right now is, you know,
I mean, that's what you've got. That's all there is to
worry
about.
This team's got two losses, and people just have to look for things to talk about. That's why you know, see me again in a month on him.
Right.
Hey, I've got a travel opportunity for you.
Okay, I'll probably pass.
Oh, you're a rich. This will be right up your alley. Apparently, a new Houston-based company has an opportunity for you. Orion Span will open the first luxury space hotel in just 3 years. The company says its Aurora station will have enough room to hold 4 passengers and 2 crew members for 12 days at a time. The cost? It's not bad. $792,000 a night. You get to see stunning views at 200 miles above the Earth's surface. Hotel will orbit Earth every 90 minutes. So you see an average of 16 sunrises and sunsets every 24 hours. That seems a bit much, but okay. You'll also be able to have an astronaut experience where you can grow food in space or perform research.
I got to be honest, Fred. You know how I always talk about, like, I don't want to go overseas to all these places, like Africa and, you know, Asia and the Middle East. I'm not going in South America. I'm not going to Costa Rica. You think I'm going to space?
Yeah, I think you would. I think you'd enjoy it. You know, it says you can perform research. You know what my research would be? Is weed more effective in space? I think that's a fair one. And what's sex like with zero gravity?
Yeah,
I mean, that to me is pretty good research. And I could come back and tell people
about
it.
Are you planning on taking your wife, or is there like a it's not cheating if it's in space rule?
Well, if you're on another planet, it doesn't count, right? Or you're outside of the Earth's atmosphere, it's not cheating. But this is 2 or 3 years down the road. I'll be two wives in by then. So, but you can live stream with friends and family using the station's high-speed wireless internet. You also get your own private suite.
It's sad that there's the Wi-Fi in space is better than we have here in studio.
Hey, we've actually had pretty good on a pretty good Wi-Fi run for
that's,
a while
that's
here.
True.
The only time you had problems was that it was your computer. It was on you. The total cost starts at roughly $9.5 million per person for 12 days.
I'm gonna pass on that.
You got that kind of money?
No, no. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. Yucking it up with you.
Yeah.
And no, I don't want to go to space. Even if it was way cheaper, I still wouldn't go to space. Too easy to die up there.
You got more likely to die in Houston traffic here.
Yeah, I don't know.
We just had that conversation.
I don't know about that.
All right. Just simple math. How many accidents have you had since you've been in Houston?
Oh, I don't even know. Three.
At least three. How many have you had in space?
None.
Thank you. There you go.
All right.
I can't imagine. You know who would probably do something like that? Tillman Fertitta.
You think so?
He'd spend $9.5 million to go to space.
I feel like he's got a pretty good life. Like, why? I wouldn't.
But, I mean, that's the thing.
What are you going to really gain from going out there?
Well, how many people actually get to do that? I think it'd be kind of cool. I don't think I'm going to have that much money.
I mean, if that's your goal is to be like, oh, I've done something you haven't done.
Well, it's not that. I mean,
the guy already owns an NBA franchise. He can already throw that one in your face if you want. Like,
no, but
you can do stuff here on
Earth.
Not
everybody does things just to say, oh, I did this and you didn't.
I thought that's what you're getting
at. No, I'm getting at doing something that you get that you'll be able to talk about forever. I got to go to space. Look at this. It's not about other people not getting to do it. It's about you getting to do it.
Yeah,
it's not about rubbing it in. It's about, hey, man, I have the wherewithal to do this. I'd like to go to space. I'm down. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And somebody says, so technically, would the sex be out of this world? By the base definition, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the more descriptive form, I'll have to report on that. See, that's the kind of thing that you want to report on. Because it might be, like, really awkward. You know, it's like, oh, come back here when they're floating away. I don't know. These are the things I would like to know. And I just have a sneaking suspicion in zero gravity, weed would be so much more effective because where's the smoke going to go?
I don't know.
It's just going to all stay there, and you're just going to bake,
right? It's
going
to be like a giant hot box?
Yes. Yes. What's the effect of alcohol on the body in space? I don't think NASA's done these, okay? These are not, well, they probably had the sex thing, especially the chick with the diaper that drove across the country. But I don't think they've done the other two. I'd like to participate. I'd like to help. In fact, I'll volunteer to be a test subject if they're going to, you know, they'll foot the bill, but I'll do those tests for them. And I'll come back and report and talk about it on air. If I'm still alive in 3 years.
All right, guys. If you're still alive on Saturday, April 28th from 2 to 5 p.m., Fred, and you wanted to go drink some... Oh, your doctor won't let you do this. Mm-mm. Well, some of you other guys can do it then. There's more beer for you. The Kima Boardwalk, 24 craft breweries, invite you to spend the day sampling over 72 of the best beers out there. I'll just read you some of the list. It's a long list. So I'm not going to read it all. Eighth Wonder, Adalbert's, Alamo, Alaskan, Austin East Siders, Buffalo Bayou, Ballast Point, Blue Moon, Deschutes, Galveston Island, Carbach, Live Oak, New Belgium, Maui, Real Ale, Saloon Door, Spindle Tap, St. Arnold, Shiner, Southern Star. There's a pretty long list here. They're all going to be bringing their wares, and you can get them all. Tickets are only $44.95 per person. Advanced tickets. They're only $39.95 for Landry Select Club members, or if you have a military ID. If you wait until the day of, $49.95. Save yourself some money, guys. Your admission includes beer samples, giveaways from vendors, food samples. There's going to be live music out there all day. Purchase your tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase and, of course, must be 21 years of age. And for you real craft beer enthusiasts, at 1 p.m., you can take a craft beer cruise on a yacht or the craft beer hotel package, which includes a one-night stay at the Boardwalk Inn and two tickets to the Craft Beer Festival. Go to KemaCraftBeerFest.com for all the details. That's KemaCraftBeerFest.com.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 at SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I've been telling you enough about SportsMap today. Let's just jump right in because we have a surprise guest that we're very happy to have.
It is a surprise to us, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But he brought beer, which is good. Back pew.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good. You brought the Blue Testament here, I see.
I brought the Blue Testament. I brought actually some Sweet Salvation. I brought some Seder Swill, some Hot Apostle, and I actually brought you guys the Barrel Age beer that we just released this weekend. So I thought we'd actually. That's the first time I think I've seen him actually. Got really excited about. We have two variants for you: the Barrel Age variant, and then we have a Coconut Cream Pie variant.
Nice.
That's been barrel aged for a year in Booker's Bourbon barrels. So a little bit of, got some fun stuff for you guys.
I've only had one of your beers ever, which is surprising. I drink a lot of beer.
I haven't done my job appropriately. You can change all of that.
The only beer I've had of yours is a beer called Evildoer.
Man, that was a short run beer. We did one batch of that last summer and just put it. You know, we've done it since at the brewery.
August of 2017.
Yeah. Look, the world is changing now.
The world is changing.
It's growing. It's
how are you going to find me? What's the move? How do you find new drinkers?
How do you find new drinkers? Well, you go on ESPN 97.5 and talk about it, and you try to get people to listen to your goofy self. And in advance, I know that I have the worst radio voice in the world. Not only do I look like a nerd and act like a nerd and talk about nerdy things, but I sound like a nerd.
Now look at that.
It's quite fantastic.
We have people on the station who sound a lot worse than you do.
It's not the worst. Trust me.
People
do it for a living here. That's not
I'm
the
comfortable
worst.
With it, but I know these things. But one of the tricks is I think you have to be in draft bars. I mean, you know, we push out packaged goods. You guys see our packaged goods here, and my branding guys have done a great job making it look good. But at the end of the day, no matter what the sales pitch is, you got to try it. You got to drink it.
That's the key. That's what I always say. Like, I go to a couple of. I don't go out and drink a lot. But when I do, it's usually at like I go to Hop Scholar, which is up there, sort of by me. And then when I'm drinking in the city, I'll drink at Hay Merchant.
Sure.
And if your beer's on tap, I'll probably try it if it's something I haven't tried.
Exactly.
Rarely do I go into Specs and say, I've never had this beer before. I'll buy a six-pack of it. I just don't do that. So I agree with you. It's important to be on those draft walls.
And that's kind of how you convert over. And after that, then you know, maybe you're like, oh, wow, I had a couple things by them on draft. I mean, next time you go in, you either see it and you really liked it, you get a six-pack. Or then, of course, you're like, well, I haven't tried it, but the other stuff I've had by them is solid. So I'm really in the mood for an XYZ. And it grows from there.
Bobby Harl, our guest, is a brewmaster for Back Pew. I noticed that you guys do have a pretty good amount in the Specs downtown. I've seen you in there before. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the bars over in East Downtown where I hang out, I see you guys on tap. And that's where I first tried you. And
awesome.
I liked it a lot. So I have not tried the Blue Testament yet. I'm looking forward to that.
Where are you guys at? What's the I know you're a Houston area brewery, but I know you're not in Houston proper. It's up 59-ish?
That's right, yeah. So we're in the Humble Kingwood area. Technically, we're in Porter, Texas. That would be the next exit past Kingwood. But if you go to the next exit, you're no longer in Porter. So you've got one shot. So we're in Porter, Texas. And yes, I've had every joke in the world about why I don't make a Porter yet. I understand that. We do have plans to make a Porter, but it's not forthcoming. Yes, we are up north of town just a little bit. We did that because we want a little bit more space. So we're up there on 14 acres. We took over an old snake handling speaking in tongues church, and we put a brewery in it. So the stuff that you find when you take out a church of or whatever it was. Snake, there were snakes. The things you find are just are awesomely appalling. But you know, the thing is, we breathe new life into that building. You know, it was really let go, and it fits our who we are in terms of having space and the camaraderie that's built there. We actually just opened our new tap room, which we call the Sanctuary, which is the old church that was on site this last weekend. So now we have things. I know it sounds nuanced to maybe everybody in Houston, but we have indoor plumbing. So for the last 2.5 years, we've
congratulations
been all porta potties. So
yeah.
I was stoked about the 30 tap tap wall. I think most of my customers were stoked about the indoor plumbing. But hey, you know what? Either way, it's a win.
30 taps at the Sanctuary, all
taps
with your beer on it?
Yep.
Ooh.
And you're making over 30 different kinds of beer?
Yeah, so we have a 30-barrel system, which is what allows us to do all of our production-based brewing. But we all also have a one-barrel pilot system, and that's where a lot of our other rotating
stuff
comes off of. And I've been stockpiling. We had, you know, 3 barrel-aged beers on, 2 of which you guys are going to get to try. Another one I had done with Underdogs over on Washington last year for Memorial Day. We took our Cedar Swill, put it in a Stranahan's barrel he had with his pecan pie shot, aged that for 8 months. So we barrel-aged a lager. And it turned out just absolutely fantastic. And I, you know, Dustin, being that it was his barrel, I gave, you know, Underdogs got most of those kegs. But we had one sixth left. It was only 3/4 full. I may or may not have tried some in the, you know, the interim. But it went on and it went off. So that was very cool. We were only short, I think, 3 taps. Besides that, we had them full. So the upside is they were full. Downside is they're no longer full. But that means everybody was, you know, they were well watered. So now I get to make a lot more fun new stuff.
There you go.
I think I was at the Secret Group. That's where I tried it. They had it on tap there.
Yeah, they're awesome dudes over
there. Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing. Just get the word out, man. And I'm looking forward to trying these, which I can't do on the air right now because my doctor's listening. So
that's all right. Like
sucks
I said,
for you, man.
I'm gonna be leaving you some stuff, so it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, I'll be able to report back on it soon. But yeah.
So what are you guys working on up at the brewery? What can people expect from you in the near future?
Well, actually, so next week, so we launched our 30 pieces double IPA. We did a West Coast style double. Kegs went out kind of this last week, and this week that we're in now, we're canning it tomorrow. So there's going to be 200 cases across the city, and that's it. That's the total run. So it's big. It's a very large double IPA. It's going to be in 6-pack, so you can find it around town. I'm going to put a map up. You know, so all of the social medias, we'll see it soon. But that's very, very exciting. So please get out there, give it a shot, because if you miss it, it's not going to be back. After that, we have a really awesome beer, which we call the Garnet Pietist, which is a raspberry ginger saison coming out toward the end of May. That's going to be very exciting and perfect for as that hotter weather really starts to come in.
Awesome.
Jonathan on Twitter says he's known you since elementary school and you're a top-notch guy, but your beer may be even better. So
look at
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate that, buddy.
Look at that.
Well, when you look at the whole scene here, I mean, what was your strategy? Was it we want to develop in Porter here and kind of be this area's place, or is it we want to be bigger than that, or you start small and then and expand everything? What was your kind of general philosophy as far as building your business?
Sure. Well, when I first started my business plan, when I got my brewing chops professionally, I was in Nashville. And Nashville actually has more breweries than Houston, but we are 2.5 times the size of it. So, and it turns out Texans drink about 2.5 times the average nationally of beer. So overall, from a marketing or from a market perspective, it looked really good. But you always need to, you know, you always need to be in your hometown. I am a hometown guy. I was born in Tomball, grew up in the Spring Klein area, so I've been a Houstonian, born and bred since. So when I came back, the reason we're up north there is because we used to go to Livingston all the time as when I was a kid to camp out and stuff like that. And it seemed like a really great spot because there wasn't a brewery at the time there. Now there's a couple others that have joined me, or one that has opened, another one that's slated to open up there near me. But I think that was the fun part. And so in my opinion, what we wanted to do is we wanted to bring different flavors to the scene, primarily lagers. You'll see in our portfolio that we don't just do an IPA, a pale ale, and another IPA, and another IPA, and then some other IPA, and then yet another IPA, and then a porter. A lot of our portfolio is actually, you know, German style flavors and German style beers. Now, an awesome German came in and told me I shouldn't call it a German style Bock because I'm not German, which he's absolutely correct, and the Germans often are. So it is a Bock, German inspired Bock, and German inspired flavors. I should correct myself. But we like to do those kinds of
things. Tell him you'll call your beer what you want.
You know, I mean, he's not incorrect. He wasn't being necessarily a jerk. He was just being informative more than anything. So I can't hate the guy, but it's always a funny story. Yes, so that was the way I wanted to approach this. So, look, we have some unique flavors, some beers that you can drink all day. And being a Texan, I know we drink beer all day. Not every day, but, you know, it happens.
Some of us
but almost
and
every
so,
day.
Yeah. You know, almost every day. And so, you know, how do we make that work? And I thought that tying that into the fact that it was an old church, you know, if nothing else, somebody at least has had some experience, positive or negative, with that, and we'd like to have a little bit of fun with it. So, you know, you start small, you take care of your backyard, and then you expand. And so, you know, as a Houstonian, it's a little weird because I think of the entire city as my backyard. You know, customers don't always see it that way, so it right. takes some time.
Well, I always say the best example of and there's a couple of them. I think No Label out in Katy is a great example.
Absolutely.
I think Eighth Wonder is a great example, really, for their neighborhood. Yeah. And you know, their beer's not – it's not necessarily my favorite thing, but the people around there love it. And that's what matters. If you got the people in your neighborhood – buying up your beer, you got a pretty good you at least got a serviceable business model, you know.
And I mean, and that's what you're going to start to see is, you know, there's a lot of breweries starting out. Baylinson's, a lot of these guys, they're going to have smaller, which, you know, really what we go by barrelage in terms of sizing, you know, 4 to 7 barrel type systems. The reason you're going to see that is because they are catering to the neighborhood, and that's what's going to happen. That's what happened a long time ago, but a lot of those guys shut down. Well, now that kind of model is coming back full swing, and their model isn't to go to Specs or HEB or Kroger. Their model is to get you to come there, enjoy the product, enjoy the culture, enjoy the atmosphere, yeah. and then maybe take some home.
All right, you can check them out at backpewbrewing.com. And, Bobby, we appreciate you stepping in here, and I'd love to have you on again sometime, and appreciate you bringing the beer, man.
No problem.
Even though you can't have any, Fred. That's more for me.
I can have some tomorrow.
You can't have any.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. I want to thank Jong Lee. Great job. A.J. Hoffman, great job. I did okay today. We'll try it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.